Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. How you doing? This is CA, your on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network here at Face Studio One, the iHeartRadio studio in Fort Worth, Texas. I want to say hi to everybody this morning on a Thursday. I'm not going to be doing any biblical teaching today. I'm going to have the great Billy Graham. I've got a Billy Graham 1971 in Irving, Texas. He's going to talk about second chances, and we're going to be talking about that here in just a little bit. I want to remind you before I tell you what else is going to be going on the show, feel free if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, you can always email me up anywhere online, anywhere at all, on your Android phone, on your Apple phone. That is morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, like us on our Facebook page, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Check that like button. We'd love to have you. The more the merrier. All right, let's talk about what's going to happen. What do you say on a Thursday? Happy Thursday, June 17, 2021. Another scorcher out here in Fort Worth. Stay hydrated. All right, I got a Bible devotion. The other day, if you had to, you got a chance to watch my live cast on my morning show, talked a little bit about angels and my angel experience. I encourage you to go back when you go to the Facebook page, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Find me there, click on it, and listen to my story. You'll be amazed. Here in a bit, we're going to talk about God's secret agents. Let me take that back. God's secret agents. Also, I got a couple of great Christian songs back to back. We got the Billy Graham coming up, 1971, Irving, Texas, at the old Texas Stadium. Most of y'all remember where the great Roger Staubach, Danny White, Bob Lilly. Come on now, y'all remember Randy White? I know Randy White. He's a nice guy. Drew Pearson, God bless him. Drew Pearson, yes, number 88, our all-time favorite. All right. Come on, Jerry. We're going to get some good players this year, I hope. Right? Right. All right. Let's see what else we got going on. Nothing too much. We're just going to enjoy our Thursday, right? Okay. Jumping jack ready. Who's ready? Stretch those arms. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait a minute. Let's do it again. Come on, guys. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now I'm going to go backwards. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's roll. By the way, forgive me, I forgot to tell you guys, Coach Stan is going to be on immediately, just for a little bit. Got Coach Stan waiting in the wings after we get through with our Bible devotion. So Scripture reminds us, if you go to the book of Psalms chapter 91 and verse 11, he said, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all ways. Again, that is the book of Psalms, and you may want to highlight it, Psalms 91 verse 11. A secret agent is one who seeks to protect his country, his king, or his president against evil forces that are opposed to the one he serves. Now, the American Secret Service is in charge of protecting the president of the United States. They do an excellent job. All presidents they've protected. But even they will tell you that someone who is fiercely determined to assassinate the president could be successful. Let's hope that never happens. God has his own secret agents. He calls them what? The angels, unseen and unrecognized by the world. They never fail in their appointed task. Much has been written recently about the angels. In fact, often not based on the Bible, but on popular legends that the angels are real and that God had commanded them to watch over us. Only in eternity will we know how many incidents they prevented, or how often they kept Satan's miraculous spirits at bay. In the meantime, take comfort in the presence and thank God for the love that he expresses for us in their service. Amen? Amen. All right, stand by just for a little bit. We're going to have Coach Stan play a couple of Christian songs, and we're going to have Billy Graham 1971 message on second chances. I know you guys are going to enjoy that. Stand by one moment for Coach Stan. Thank you. That's right, and he can be center field. Let's give a cheer. Thursday morning cheer. Round of applause. Morning Crow on a Thursday. He does make us laugh. Hey, somebody whistle at him. Drum roll. Fanfare. Countdown.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, guys, your friend, my friend, he's just here for the season. And Coach Dan, hello, Coach Dan. Welcome to Face Studio 1 in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas on a very hot, muggy day. Baseball, hot dogs, peanuts, hello, CA, and hello, everybody. Coach Dan here checking in. Where is the Deke at? The Deacon. Well, I'm glad you mentioned about old Deacon. Deacon is busy, so we're going to have the Deacon, but he's going to be on our Friday show. Along with Bus Captain Bill. We got a combination of the two, a little round table. So, Stan, Coach Stan, we're going to have him back. So, you don't have no fear. We'll have you, ask him some of your questions, and I'm sure he'll have questions that he'll want to ask you. That's right, CA. I'm going to tell you something right now. Baseball season has just been incredible. May was almost a washout. I've never in my life seen so much rain. So much rain. We couldn't even sell popcorn, peanuts, hot dogs. Well, it's kind of hard when there's still kind of COVID-19, even though the heat's evaporating a lot of it. However, I hear now they got to go to the concession stands. That's right there, CA. They still got to go to the concession stands. You got that right. Well, I'm going to talk to you just a bit. I'm not going to hold you up because I know you got a great Billy Graham coming up. That's right, I actually do after we play a couple of songs. But you go ahead, my friend. You talk whatever you need to talk. Well, I just want to tell you, it's been a tough baseball year. I thought we were going to be getting closer. At least, you know, we got the All-Star game coming up here pretty soon. The All-Star break. But boy, we're not doing too good at all. In fact, our team, CA, is almost next to the last of the bottom. Oh, no. Well, we need to lift you guys up in prayer. Now, that's the Yogi Berra's, right? Yeah, that's right, the Yogi Berra's. That's right, that's right. Well, just know God's got a handle on you guys. Keep praying. Pray in your locker room. And stay strong. That's the most important thing. That's right. I think sometimes I need to give him a V8. There you go. Oh, my goodness. Did you say V8? Let's give him a drum roll on that, huh? A little bit of fanfare, too. All right. You deserve that, my friend. Well, you know, like I said, what do you do in a situation like that when your team's kind of next to the bottom? Well, you rotate your players and you just try to get the right ones in. Okay, I got you. Well, we'll keep praying for you on that. Well, I'm going to have to cut you a little short. I know you wanted to stop in just a little bit here at the iHeartRadio studio in Fort Worth. I got a couple of songs. And then after that, we have got a Billy Graham that everybody wants to hear. So you have yourself a great week. And eventually we'll get our normal programming back to normal. We've just been bouncing back and forth. Well, see, hey, before I let you go, I heard that last Sunday you went and ate with your dad and you ate with Daniel. Daniel's going to marry Candace, your niece, right? Yes, in 22 days. 22 days, we've got a wedding coming up. We got several of them. And this is the one for this year, and then we got some next year. And Candace and Daniel. Now, I told Daniel to spend... That's right, CA. Go ahead and say it. Spend all the money you can. Because when you're married, she's going to get some of it. That's right. That's right, CA. You had me chuckle up on that. And there ain't nothing wrong with the woman. You know, share your wealth. But I told Daniel, he started chuckling. He said, I know. That's right. So that was the best advice I could give him. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Daniel. Be sure to keep it. To keep everything, make sure that you don't sling your clothes, and be sure to pick up everything from Coach Dan. You hear me? There you go, Coach Dan. Sounds good. Well, you have a good day, buddy. You too. All right, let's take it of this song here on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. Heaven on Earth.
Starts. Take my life and let it be. Set off. heaven on earth.
Will be the last time we're together.
Sometimes I still catch myself trying to call your phone. All the hopes and dreams we used to talk about, they're still alive in me, and I just hope I make you proud. Now I'm your legacy, and it's your love still holding me together. And I still hear you say, it's okay.
There we go, Ryan Stevenson, When We Fall Apart, on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. Good morning, everybody. As promised, we're going to get ready right now. This is a 1971 Billy Graham version of a sermon called Second Chances. I've heard this one. This is a great one, exclusively and only on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on a Thursday. Dr. Graham, take it away. This was 1971, Irving, Texas.
Now tonight, the 12th chapter of Matthew. Matthew, the 12th chapter. These words, I've preached three separate sermons from this text during this past week, and I want to preach another one tonight. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign given you, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Of course, Jesus was talking about his resurrection. He was rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees. They were wanting a sign. Jesus said, I am the sign. And my death and burial and resurrection will be a sign in every generation that God loves the world and was willing to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it's interesting to me that Jesus picked one of the most incredible stories in all the Bible to use as an illustration. We've all heard jokes about Jonah and the whale. We've heard professors of science that made fun of it. They said there couldn't be a whale that could swallow a man, and a man lived 3 days and 3 nights in a whale's belly. But the Bible says it happened, and Jesus said it happened, and now some scientists are saying that it is possible to happen. Now, the Bible doesn't really say it was a whale. You go back to the book of Jonah, about the middle of the Bible, a little book of 4 chapters. You can read it in 5 minutes. One of the most dramatic and thrilling stories in all the Bible. It says that God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. In other words, he was custom made by God for the occasion. God prepared a great fish. We know that they found whales that are 70 feet long. We don't know what kind of fish it was, but God prepared it, and the whole thing is a miracle from top to bottom anyway. In fact, the little book of Jonah is a book of miracles. It's filled with miracles. The wind that came up, the fish that was prepared, the gourd that grew, but the greatest miracle of all was the greatest revival in the history of the world, when one of the greatest cities of all of world history turned from the king on down to God in repentance of sin and faith in God. Now, before that happened, though, God had called Jonah. God said, Jonah, I want you to go and warn the people of Nineveh to repent of their sins because judgment is coming. Now the scripture says, and Jonah said, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Did you know that that expression or a similar expression is found over 2,000 times in the Old Testament? I believe the word of the Lord did come to them. I don't believe they'd tell 2,000 lies in the Old Testament. I believe that this book, the Bible, is inspired of God. It's God's book. It's God's message to every generation. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And God's word said, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. Cry out against Nineveh, for their wickedness has come up before me. There comes a time when God can stand sin and wickedness no more. And judgment must come. That's the danger in America right now. That's the danger in the world right now. Our wickedness is so great that God may allow judgment to fall unless we as a people turn back to God. And that's one of the encouraging things about this youth revival across America. Thank God that the young people are beginning to turn to Christ in great numbers. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. But you know, Jonah wasn't happy about it. He didn't want to be a fire and brimstone preacher in Nineveh. There was no glamour in that. He knew he would be persecuted. He knew he wouldn't be popular. He didn't want to have to give a message of judgment to Nineveh. So Jonah decided that he was going to flee. He was going to get away. He was going to disobey God. And the Bible says that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and he bought a ticket for Tarshish, because you see, Tarshish was a great resort city. And he thought to himself, I can go down there and lie on a beach and the Lord won't even know where I am. I can get away from it all. And that's been true all the way through the Bible. Adam and Eve thought they could get away from God and hide in the garden and hide behind the fig leaves that they sowed after they rebelled against God. But God came walking in the garden and said, Adam, where art thou? The Bible says you can make your bed in hell and you can't get away from God. There's nowhere for you to flee from God. And then the Bible says that he went down to Joppa, got into the ship, and went down into the bottom of the ship to go asleep. Sin always leads us down. Jonah went down. And when you sin and persist in sin, it's going to lead you down. Samson was one of God's servants. And God put up with his sins for 20 years. The patience, the love, and the grace of God toward Samson is one of the great stories of the Bible. But there came a time when God said, it's enough. And Samson was captured and he was blinded. And Samson suffered the judgment of God because of his sins. Sin led Samson down. Sin led David down. David committed adultery. He committed murder. From that moment on, his family seemed to get away from him. Some of them revolted against him. And David carried this terrible guilt that you find poured out in the 51st Psalm and many of the other Psalms. Sin led down. And many of you tonight are down because of sin and you're trying to flee from God. You know, we flee by travel. Listen to that airplane up there. There's a restlessness today. You go to the airports, they're jammed. Go to the bus stations, they're jammed. People going everywhere. Go out on the highways and you stop the average person. Most of them would tell you they don't know where they're going. They just have to go. Everybody's going. Everybody's moving. No one seems to have any roots any longer. We're trying to get away from something and we don't know what it is. And many are trying to flee from reality, flee from their home situation or their business situation. But many of them, without knowing it, are actually trying to flee from God. And then we flee into lust. The lust for things. Did you know that they're compulsive eaters, but they're also compulsive shoppers? How many of you shop when you don't really need anything to buy? You just go to buy something. It's a habit with you. You're addicted to it. I'm not talking just about women. I'm talking about men, too. I know women, they seem to be born to shop. So there's a little excuse for them. But you've seen compulsive shoppers just like shoplifters. Billions of dollars were lifted last year, and much of it was lifted by wealthy people and people that didn't need anything. Compulsive to get things, and a great deal of it is fleeing. It's an addiction. And then we flee into obsession with sex. We try to forget about it in a few moments of thrill and passion. We flee into mysticism and occultism, Satan worship, all kinds of things people are fleeing to. Some of our famous young people have been going to the Far East and out to India to try to find some new Eastern religion that might satisfy, when all they have to do is open the Bible and God has the answer right here. You don't have to take a trip to India to find peace with God. And those that went there didn't find it. They came back disillusioned. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can give you the peace and the joy and the rest and the satisfaction you're looking for. You don't have to keep running. Just go to the cross. And in the cross, God has provided everything that you ever searched for and ever wanted and ever longed for. But all of us have a restlessness. We escape into pleasure. How many of us have to be entertained all the time? Because we're restless. We're trying to escape. There are two roads in life. Jesus said one is a broad road. It ends in destruction. He said the other road is a narrow road. It ends in eternal life. Which road are you on? Jonah was on the road down. He was disobeying God. He was rebelling against the word of the Lord. And he went down, down. And then the Bible has another interesting thing in the book of Jonah. It says, Jonah paid the fare thereof. Yes, sir, he paid for it. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Immediately when Jonah got on board that ship, he became a Jonah. Tragedy began to occur. A storm came up. The sailors began to cry to their various gods for help. They knew something was wrong. They began to throw their cargo overboard. But still, the storm was about to tear the little ship apart. And they finally decided it must be somebody among them that was guilty of offending God. So they cast lots to see which one it would be. And it was Jonah. Jonah thought he was escaping God. Jonah had hidden himself down in the hold of the ship. He was asleep. He didn't know that God sent that wind and God sent that storm and God sent that adversity and God sent that tragedy to wake him up and to get him back on the right path again. That tragedy in your life, that problem in your life, that disappointment that broke your heart, you thought it was a tragedy. You thought it was by accident. It might have been sent by God. Because you see, your body is not so important as your soul or your spirit. Your body is temporary. It's going to go to the grave, but your soul, your spirit will live on forever. And God is interested in saving your spirit. And sometimes he allows your body to suffer in order to bring your spirit to himself. You see, the Apostle Paul cried out three times, Lord, deliver me. God said, no, Paul, but I'll show you what my grace can do. How many of you have problems and tragedy and disappointment in your life? Maybe God sent it like he sent this wind to blow up the storm, to wake you up, to cause you to repent of your sins and turn to God while there's time. Jonah paid the fare thereof. Jonah said, well, it's nobody else's business. If you go out and shoot heroin, you say that's nobody's business but mine. Yes, it is. What about your parents? What about that unborn child you may have? What about the other people that you have hurt, that are brokenhearted because of your selfishness and your greed and your desire for escape? You say, if I have sex relations, that's nobody's business but mine. What about the girl that you hurt? What about the guilt that you'll carry? What about the possibility of VD that does not respond to any penicillin today? What about the illegitimate child that may be born? You hurt many other people when you commit sin. You don't sin alone. The Bible teaches you don't. Even marijuana. 39% of American young people, they say, are now smoking pot. You say, well, Billy, it's no more than smoking a cigarette and no more than taking a drink. But you know what they're beginning to find out now? And I've got all kinds of statements by some of the most famous scientists. Dr. Peterson spoke to the students of the University of Winnipeg the other day, and he said, my research is convincing me that marijuana will produce extensive brain damage. And then he predicts that 10 years from now, the majority of hospitals in America are likely to be filled with people who used marijuana 10 years earlier. Even Jane Fonda, you know Jane Fonda. You know what she stands for and believes in. She even said, people think I'm way out. They're wrong. I used to be pro-marijuana, but I'm against it now, she says. You say it's your business? It's everybody's business. It hurts many people when you take drugs or premarital sex or any of these other things. Jonah said, I'll go where I want to go and live the way I want to live. That's right, Jonah. You've got that privilege if you're ready to pay the price. But I want to tell you, the price is tremendous. And then the Bible says that Jonah went to sleep in the boat. Sin is like that. Sin is a sedative. You know, sin is at first exciting. Then it's boring. Then after a while, you lose your conscience and sensitivity to sin, and your conscience becomes dead. And what a terrible thing it is when your conscience is dead. How many of you, when you used to hear the gospel years ago, tears would come to your eyes? Or it made you uncomfortable? Or it pricked your conscience. Now you can listen to the gospel preached and it doesn't even bother you. You can just turn it off. When that happens, you're in a dangerous position, because God said concerning Ephraim, Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. Wouldn't it be awful if God would say, leave him alone? Don't convict him. Don't speak to him anymore. Let him go. He's only got another 10 years to live or 20 years to live. Let him go. Three times in the first chapter of Romans, God says, I give them up. I give them up. I give them up. There is a sleep, the Bible says, unto death. A spiritual sleep that is produced by prolonged practicing of sin, that deadens the conscience, hardens the conscience. And then the Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. You know, there are not many places in the Bible where it says God gave a man a second chance like he did Jonah. But God gave Jonah a second chance. The Bible warns, my spirit will not always strive with a man. The Bible warns, he that hardeneth his heart, being often reproved, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. But God gave Jonah a second chance. Do you remember when God spoke to you the first time? It might have been at your mother's knee. It might have been through a gospel broadcast that you heard. It might have been through a Bible that you found in a hotel room. I don't know where it was or how, but God spoke to you the first time. And you almost responded, but you didn't do it. Backward, oh, time in its flight. And make me a child again, just for tonight. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could turn the clock back and go back to those moments that we turned God down when we had a chance? Tonight, God has allowed you to come to this stadium. And this is an hour that God is giving you another chance, another moment to make your commitment to Him. The thief on the cross was dying. And he turned to Jesus at that dying moment. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He deserved to die. And he said, Lord, remember me. He took his one and only chance. And at that moment, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't have time to even be baptized. He didn't have time to straighten up his life. He came just as he was, hanging there naked, guilty of murder. Guilty of robbery, guilty of everything. And all he said was, Lord, remember me. All you have to say tonight is, Lord, remember me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. Well, Jonah didn't have to hear it a third time, because the Bible says Jonah began to pray down in the belly of the fish. And what a prayer meeting that was. I want to tell you, in a few minutes, he graduated from Fish University. It says the fish spit him up. And he went out on the beach. And he started toward Nineveh, where God had told him to go into the beginning. And you know, the Bible says that Nineveh takes 3 days to get there. But Jonah made it in one day. Now, he must have been really breaking the speed limit. He was obeying God so fast. He had had his experience on the ocean. He had had his experience in judgment. Now, from this moment on, he was going to be an obedient servant of the Lord. And he went to Nineveh, and the Bible says he began to shout up and down the streets, repent, Nineveh. Judgment is coming. Repent, repent. And one of the greatest and strangest and most thrilling events of all recorded history happened. The king, think of it now, the king of the whole nation sat down in sackcloth and in ashes and called the people to fast, told them to turn from their evil ways. He said, don't even let the animals drink or eat. Let's show God we mean business. And a great and mighty metropolitan area, as big as some of our modern cities, repented. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says God repented. When God saw their repentance, God changed his mind. He deferred judgment. The judgment was about to fall. They repented. And there's one thing God cannot do, and that's judge a man that's repenting or a man that's in Jesus Christ. Because you see, the word repentance means change. Change the direction of your life. Change the pattern of your living. Change everything in your life. Because you see, Jesus Christ is a disturber. He comes in to disturb. You can't be the same again when you've met Jesus. You're different. Old things pass away and everything becomes new, the Bible says, when you come to Christ. That's the reason Jesus Christ said, you better sit down and count the cost before you come to me. You can't just come up to me and say, here I am, Lord. You're lucky to get me. You've got to come in repentance. You've got to say, Lord, I've sinned. I've disobeyed you. I've rebelled against you. Lord, I come by faith to receive your son, Jesus Christ, into my heart. And all of Nineveh repented and turned to God. And they never faced judgment in that generation. Now, if you go to the book of Nahum, the next book over, you'll find about 100 years later, they'd forgotten the revival, forgotten their repentance, and the judgment of God did fall, and it was so great. The judgment was so great on Nineveh 100 years later that archaeologists couldn't even find it till not long ago. God absolutely wiped it out because Nineveh had one time repented, and then they had repented of their repentance. Their children had. There was a time when we had a generation of godly people in America. But the children and the grandchildren have gone their own way. And in Nineveh's day, they couldn't even find the city when God got through with them. He allowed the Babylonians to come in and destroy the city as no city in history has ever been destroyed, as a judgment. Do you think God's changed? Do you think God says, okay, Dallas and Fort Worth, you're my pets? Do you think God is saying to the American people, Americans, you're my pets, you're my favorites, I'm going to spare you? Now, the rest of the world's got to be judged, but I'm going to spare you because you've got on your coins, and God, we trust. If the Supreme Court didn't get it off before we get through preaching. But I think that I see signs in the mulberry bushes now. I think I hear the blowing of a breeze in America. I think American young people are beginning to say, we want something more than materialism. We want something more than sex and drugs. We want God. And so we're beginning to read stories of young people turning by the thousands to Jesus Christ. Have you found Christ? Does he live in your heart? You say, well, Billy, how do you find Christ? You know, Campus Crusade for Christ is going to come to Dallas in the Cotton Bowl next year in June, called Expo 72. And they're going to bring together, we hope, 100,000 students and all kinds of people to study the scriptures and sing together and pray together. And they have what is called the four spiritual laws. The first one is God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. How true that is. God loves you. I don't care what sin you've committed. It doesn't make any difference how far you tried to run from God. He loves you. His eye is on you. He sees you. He sees you in that tenement house in New York. He sees you in that bar in Los Angeles. He sees that you're trying to run and flee. But he loves you. And he has a plan for your life. If you'll only turn and repent. And maybe God has allowed this emptiness and this disillusionment and these problems to come on you to try to get you to turn. And then the second one is that you're a sinner. You have to admit it and confess it and acknowledge it and say, Lord, I've sinned and I'm sorry for my sin and I'm willing to turn from my sin. And then you must receive Jesus Christ by faith. It is an act of faith. You cannot come to Christ the intellectual route alone. You have to come with your intellect. You have to come with your emotions. You have to come with your will. Your total personality, your total person must come to Christ and receive him as your Lord and your Savior and your Master. You see, he died on the cross for you. He died in your place. And God is saying through that death, I love you. I'm providing a sacrifice for you. I'm providing an atonement for your sins. Christ shed his blood on that cross for a purpose. That blood became the cleansing fount where all of us can find a place to wash our sins away. Of course, the blood is symbolic of life, the life that was given for you. Now you must receive by faith God's offer of mercy and pardon and forgiveness. And then you must be willing to obey him. That means to go back to your school and back to your business and back to your labor union and back to your farm and back to your friends, and take your stand for Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost.
Amen. There we go. Billy Graham, Second Chance. And I thank all you guys and the late Dr. Graham. We thank him for that message. God will always give us that chance. He gave a second chance to Jonah. So whatever you're going through, if we can help you here at the Faith Studio 1 and the iHeartRadio Studio in Fort Worth, I want you to email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com anytime, guys. Or go to my Facebook page, click on that button, give me a text, give me a call. We're here to help. We want to love and we want to serve. So let's lead off in a prayer on a Thursday. Dear Jesus, we pray for a great Thursday today. I pray you watch over God and protect us, dear Jesus. I pray that we have a great day. And we just come back refreshed for our next new day. For we ask it all in your precious name. Amen. Okay, guys, this is CA on the iHeartRadio Network with a special edition of the Billy Graham Second Chances. Y'all have a great day. Bye for now.